President-elect Trump is busy these days with victory tours, cabinet building, and foreign policy tweets. He's also finding time to think about his inauguration. He huddled yesterday with presidential historian Douglas Brinkley, and Brinkley told CNN afterwards that he and Trump talked about inaugural addresses.
Donald Trump said, look, I'm going to give a short inauguration. I don't want something long-winded.
The Trump inauguration is 3 weeks from tomorrow, the latest reiteration of a meaningful tradition, as NPR's Ron Elving reports.
Here is the very first sentence of the very first inaugural address given by George Washington in 1789 to members of Congress. Among the vicissitudes incident to life, no event could have filled me with greater anxieties than that of which the notification was transmitted by your order, received on the 14th day of this month. Not a line anyone's likely to quote. The inaugural addresses we do tend to remember are the ones given at other major turning points in our national history. Here is an actor's recreation of Abraham Lincoln in 1861, with war between the states looming.
The mystic cords of memory, stretching from every battlefield and patriot grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land, will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they will be, by the better angels of our nature.
Stirring words, to be sure. But secessionist forces would fire on the federal Fort Sumter the next month, and 4 years of civil war would follow. In the depths of the Great Depression in 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt intoned these unforgettable words.
So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
In more recent times, we had the iconic performance by John F. Kennedy in 1961, remembered especially for this exhortation.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
With Kennedy, we saw the emergence of the star speechwriter, Ted Sorensen in this case, a young staffer who was in on the drafting of nearly all Kennedy's famous utterances. It was said that one could hardly tell where one collaborator left off and the other began. Sorensen himself always downplayed his own role, denying authorship. Here he is speaking to NPR in 2009.
John F. Kennedy was the author of his inaugural address because he's the man who made the decisions on what policies and values to enunciate.
Ronald Reagan was renowned for his speaking prowess long before he became president, although he too had speechwriters he relied upon. Here he is in his inaugural address in 1981, trying to put a postscript to the politics of FDR and JFK.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
In Reagan's later years, we saw a high-profile speechwriter emerge in Peggy Noonan, who also wrote for the first President Bush. Michael Gerson gained a measure of fame for his speeches for George W. Bush, while Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were often known for their own way with words. Both also had numerous writers with whom they worked. Which brings us to Trump. The president-elect says he's started working on his address himself, but his transition team also says he's working with Stephen Miller, a former Senate staffer for Alabama Republican Jeff Sessions. Here's Miller revving up the crowd at a Trump rally in June.
We're not going to have a government where you just give money to Bill to get favors from Hill. We're going to have a government, folks, where the people who make the decisions are the people in this room today.
At 31, Miller is a year younger than Sorensen was when Kennedy took the oath. And like Sorensen, he's very much a policy advisor as well as a wordsmith, motivated by the immigration issue in particular. Miller is credited with drafting the acceptance speech Trump gave at the Republican convention in July, as well as the prepared remarks Trump sometimes used on the stump. The word from within the Trump camp has been, it will be an uplifting event. And it will be remembered, if the past is any guide, largely for the words the new president speaks. Ron Elving, NPR News, Washington.